Welcome, everybody, to our 18th episode of Season 3. We're going to talk a little dodgeball tourney from yesterday, Hills West Sports, and a little bit of a dry period here, so we'll talk about that. Got a big night in the NBA last night, a little college hoops, a little MLB talk from my boy Mikey Stats over there at top of the week, and more. Let's do it. Hello, and thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Colts Corner Podcast. As you can tell, Douglas Atuka not here today, but we'll be keeping the energy at a high level. I'm Ben Nixon alongside Brian Flatow, Michael Garafo. We got Ryan in studio, Constantine in studio, Tyler Wichman in studio. Should be a great show. And how you guys doing today?
I'm doing great, honestly. I'm pumped for this, and I'm very pumped to talk about this dodgeball tournament.
Yeah, so we'll get right into that. A little disclosure for you guys. We are the champions, Brian and I. Our team consisted of me, him, Nicholas Scaravaglione, a.k.a. Skaggs, Keish Avkana, the Alpert twins, Chris and Nicolino, and CJ Ginelli. Just a great team effort after a runner-up finish last year. Oh, interesting music. I thought it was a mistake.
We are the champions.
Oh, I feel you.
I don't know where the part
is. Keep it flowing.
We're just going to talk over it.
And it was a big win for us. We carried over the momentum from last year. Ended up beating the team in the finals that we lost to. Good run for the boys, and happy we got that championship title.
Yeah, no better way to go out than as champions of the 2019 Hills West Dodgeball Tournament. I'm just pumped. As you said, it was a great team effort, and we'll just let the music take it away now.
My friends, and we'll keep on fighting till the end. We are the champions. We are.
All right, yeah. So some fierce competition we played in that dodgeball tournament. Some names throughout there in the championship. We beat Gerald Filardi, Luke Bloom, Steven Marino, and Christian Mulet and their squad of girls.
We beat a solid junior team.
We beat a solid junior team in the first game.
Took down our boy Doug in the second.
Yeah,
the
Doug is not a champion. You know, Doug wasn't quite cut out.
That's why
Doug,
he's not here.
He wasn't quite cut out for our team. So we had to beat him in the semifinals.
That's tough.
We took care of him. We took care of business. And no better way to go out than as a champion.
Yeah, definitely a great event for charity. All the money goes to, it was a $20 buy-in. Four boys, four girls on the team. So a lot of money going to charity. Not sure the exact charity. Figured out. We'll get back to you in the next podcast about that.
Yeah, I'm no mathematician, but that's $160 per team.
Yeah, that's definitely a lot of money, and definitely for a good cause and a great event that happens each year at Hills West.
Yeah, the world of high stakes dodgeball. A very competitive field, and you guys really came away with W there.
They need to make that a professional sport that like is broadcasted on television. That would be fantastic.
ESPN need the Ocho. They come on.
I don't know. I don't even know.
If it's almost a sport, they've got it.
Have you seen the Dodgeball movie? Dodgeball, a true underdog story?
No, I have not. I have to check
that
it out.
It's one of the classics.
All right, I'll have to look at it. But I mean, like, they should have like broadcasted on TV like every night, professional dodgeball. That would be great.
It'd be electric for sure.
It would. I mean, the tournament, when we were watching the other teams play yesterday, it was just so much fun to watch. Especially when you know the people, you know, it just makes it that much better. Especially when you're beating guys like Doug.
They should do a celebrity dodgeball like league where every year they have like a boatload of popular people who get on teams and just battle it out for like a few months, and then they have a championship game for the most winners. That'll be really, really cool. Good idea, me. That'll never happen. But
The Pro Bowl dodgeball is pretty good. I like that a lot. Interesting to see some of the guys with big arms, QBs, throw the ball. Pretty solid.
Yeah, one interesting thing with the Pro Bowl Dodgeball Tournament, the best players, it's always this one random kicker. He's the best player on the field.
Jason Myers,
of course.
Greg Zuerlein's probably a
But
tank.
Then this year you just saw, yeah, Greg Zuerlein, he just punted right at you. Yeah. Boom, you're done. But this year you saw Saquon Barkley just take over in that thing. So dodgeball, a great sport.
Yeah, dodgeball, definitely a great sport. Like we said, not a lot going on with Hills West Sports right now. Just a quick shout out to the Half Hollow Hills Club Hockey Team. They have won the county championship. They are on to states, which is this weekend, I believe. Good luck to the boys, and we'll obviously keep you updated about that. Hopefully they take it home.
Yeah, who would have thought that hockey would be the furthest sport, well, the furthest a sport goes for Hills West this year? I mean, out of all the sports we had last year, we had football going far, soccer went far, hockey this year going the farthest, and probably
Went the distance this year.
Well, so. I know. I mean, in terms of like
in like the winter sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, in the winter sports.
Because
yeah.
In terms of going to states and stuff, like I mean, football can't go to states like that, which is kind of why. Because I mean, we expected soccer to go far this year, so I think it's really interesting that hockey's taking the headlines like that a little bit. You know, I mean. There, I'm sure more than half the kids in the school didn't even know that there was a hockey team, and they're doing very well. So good for them.
Yeah, definitely an overlooked kind of thing, but we're making sure to give you guys all the information about Half Hollow Hills sports. So we'll move on. Douglas, obviously not here today, but we did catch up with him before. He had a very important question for the boys regarding the NFL offseason.
Hello, boys. Sorry I couldn't be in attendance today for the podcast. Just a quick question on Antonio Brown. Do you guys believe that his comments that he's made towards the end of the season and throughout the offseason have hurt his stock, maybe in a trade or just as a player or maybe even a person in general?
So definitely an interesting question about AB there. Obviously, all his antics on Twitter and just throughout the news atmosphere this offseason have been wild. He will not be a Steeler anymore, which is 100% happening. He talked with Art Rooney. So yeah, he's definitely gone. And Brian, what do you think about this question? Definitely an intriguing one.
Yeah, I think his antics have hurt him in this sense, because you look at a guy like Antonio Brown, he's had this stuff like this going on his whole career, whether it was the Facebook Live thing a few years back. Now it's the requesting the trade, and he's taken it to an extent that's pretty ridiculous. And this is a recurring problem with the Steelers. You saw it with Le'Veon Bell. Now you're seeing it with Antonio Brown. And honestly, it's going on through a lot of sports right now. You saw with Anthony Davis, him requesting the trade, which is not being handled great at all right now. Anthony Davis playing 20 minutes per game. He's playing the bare minimum that they could possibly play him. It's hurting guys in all over the place. We may make the argument, we're not sure now if we could say if it hurt Le'Veon Bell sitting out a year. We don't know yet. He hasn't been signed. We don't know if he'll make that money back yet. But I just never think putting yourself in a position where people can question your character can help you in any way. That's the bottom line.
I think it hurt him, but I don't think he's hurt that much in terms of the interest that he's getting from multiple teams. Because we've seen guys like Kareem Hunt, who have definitely done some shady stuff that have been talked about a lot, but he's been getting second chance. Le'Veon Bell has definitely been getting interest from a couple teams. Antonio Brown is arguably the greatest player in his position in the league right now. I don't think that this really hurt him that much, considering what he could do to your team and how he could really pick your team up.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it did hurt him a different amount. Will it completely put his stock in the dumpster? 100% no. He's still one of the best receivers in the league. But it also doesn't help that he's entering his age 31 season in the NFL. Obviously, that's getting up there in age if you're a wide receiver. And obviously, one of the most talented guys in the league. There is no doubt about that. But the Steelers are asking for a first rounder. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get that for Antonio Brown, a guy who's already old, getting up there in age, like I said, and all these antics are definitely something that could turn a team away. And the Steelers also did say that they're looking to trade him out at the conference. So the team he wanted to go to was the 49ers. We saw him on Twitter at the beginning of the offseason when these whole antics first started. So, I mean, Brian, I know you got something to say about this, but...
One of the things is, I don't think it's going to hurt him professionally, because I don't think it's actually going to stop a team from going out and trading for him. Because if you go out and trade for Antonio Brown, like, you know what you're dealing with, but he still is one of the best receivers in the league. So you're going out and you're getting a guy to help your team win right now, and I don't think anything that he's doing outside of the white lines of the football field is actually going to impact that because of how good he is. But I'm just saying it's going to hurt the perception of him from a fan standpoint. Like, all of Pittsburgh now, a city that loved him because he was maybe the best receiver in Pittsburgh Steelers history, now doesn't like Antonio Brown at all. Now they hate him. They're going to start burning jerseys when he's traded. So I just don't think it's going to hurt him professionally. But you do bring up an interesting point there that they're looking for a first-round pick. What I think would be perfect is you see the Jacksonville Jaguars sign Nick Foles and then trade for Antonio Brown, send off that first-round pick for Antonio Brown. I think that would be the ideal thing for Jacksonville, and I think that Steelers are getting exactly what they want back. It's just the question is whether or not they'll keep him in the conference.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers not offering this year's pick because it is pretty high up in the draft, but maybe offering that 2020 pick thinking they come back next year with Jimmy Garoppolo full strength and a potentially being obviously have a great season. That pick isn't as high. We'll see what happens. It looks like he will be going out of conference. I mean, for me, the perfect destination for Antonio Brown would be the New England Patriots, because the Patriots could give up the 32nd pick for him straight up or whatever it is, and he'd have a chance to win a ring there. It's very far-fetched, in my opinion, but it would be a great deal.
I just don't think there's enough that would make the Steelers send Antonio Brown to the
Patriots.
No. There's nothing
it's never going to happen.
There's nothing that would tick in Art Rooney's head and say, you know what, I'm going to send this guy. If he doesn't want to keep him in the if he would keep him in the conference, that's one thing, but giving him to the Patriots is just too much. I just can't
100%
that.
Agree. I was just saying it'd be an unreal situation for him, and the trade would actually work out, saying it's the 32nd pick, but... That'd be just if you're looking at blind resumes. If you're seeing the Patriots and the Steelers, obviously, as those brand teams,
oh,
the elite
my,
franchise.
Oh, wait a minute. John Heyman just tweeted Bryce Harper to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh.
That is groundbreaking and interruptible.
Really? Yeah, that's absolutely
that is,
something that should interrupt our,
that is incredible.
Our conversation right now.
I don't know if you want to go into that.
Yeah,
there's no money figures yet.
No money yet.
You know what?
But
probably by the time we get to baseball in this show,
it'll be out.
It'll be out more. So let's forget about it right
keep
now.
Keep going, but
wait,
I just
want
to bring that up.
No. There's nothing more to really talk about Antonio Brown, but let's play a little guessing game for now. I'm sure the money will be out in a matter of minutes. How much money do you think it is?
How many years are we saying?
I'm saying 10 years, well, 350.
I saw an alert before that said that Harper and the Phillies' money were way off from each other and that they were so far apart and the Phillies were the least likely to sign him. So this is huge.
Well, from my understanding, it was going to be either the Phillies or the Dodgers.
Yeah, I've
seen
Phillies,
Dodgers.
So I think
Phillies, if it's
Dodgers.
The Phillies, I'm going to go with...
It's definitely
go
more
with
than
10
the Dodgers.
Years. Oh, wow. Right, it's definitely more than the Dodgers deal. I'm gonna go with the Phillies giving him 10 years, $310 million. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be a lot more than the Dodgers because, like you said, they were kind of lowballing it.
Yeah,
but
no,
I don't think.
Yeah, that,
I don't
yeah.
think it's gonna be. I don't think it's gonna be $350 million.
I'm thinking
$340,
$350.
I'm going $325.
I think it's gonna be a lot less than that. I think it's gonna be somewhere around. I think they're gonna give him like a smaller term, maybe 8 years. Maybe something
maybe
like
eight
that,
years.
But like
that's
maybe
true.
Like a lot of money, like three,
I could see 8 years, $300 million. I could see 8 years, $300 million.
Yeah, I mean, I could see. I'm thinking a 10, 325.
I think it's definitely going to be 10. All right, we'll see.
Yeah,
what,
so I like the guesses. I like that.
Good guesses.
We'll revisit it probably within the next. You know, the money. If this
we'll
if
just
this
keep
just
you updated
right now,
as it comes. As it comes,
the
up.
Money will come out soon. I'm sure. So we'll get into that when we have more information.
All right, let's just move on to the NBA now. Obviously, a huge night. The highlight coming into Miami. The Heat were down two, coming down to the wire. Dwayne Wade has a three with a few seconds left, gets blocked, gets his own rebound, a one hand, just basically a prayer, banks it in. I mean, it's basically an epitome of the guy's career. Just represents the city of Miami so well. Standing up on the scorers table after the game, after beating the best team in the league at the buzzer. I mean, it just gave me chills watching it, to be honest. It was just a crazy highlight and definitely something that D. Wade's going to remember for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I don't like the cornrows though.
Me neither.
Right?
Me neither.
It looks a little weird on him. I'm not a fan, but absolutely a great play. It was special to see Dwayne Wade do something like that against the Golden State Warriors in what is his final season.
I hope it's not like I hope he changes his mind. He probably won't. Yeah, I love watching that guy play. He's a great player to watch. I like the cornrows, actually. Like,
really?
Cornrows.
You're a fan?
Yeah, I am. I am a fan. Constantine, are you a fan?
I have to say no to the cornrows, but that was a good shot.
I like
D-Wade, what a career.
I like the cornrows on a lot of guys. Just like D-Wade
yeah, but
has like the vintage.
I don't
vintage,
think he
like,
can pull it off.
Yeah, no, he can't.
Yeah, but what a great play to this season, a great season to cap off a great career.
Yeah, it's really everything that's going on with him and Dirk Nowitzki this year has just been great. Whether it's the standing ovations in opposing teams' arenas or being elected to the All-Star game as basically honorary guests. It's just been a great year for them, and it's been magical.
Yeah, 100%. Great highlight for D-Wade. But we'll move on to another highlight in the NBA last night. Lakers-Pelicans, the primetime game, 10:30 on ESPN. Close game. The Lakers are not playing very well at all lately. If you're following the NBA, you know that for sure. But you got Anthony Davis sitting on the bench in crunch time. The Lakers were up three with around 35 seconds left. LeBron hits a crazy one-footed three from the corner as the dagger, and they showed Anthony Davis's face on the sideline. Didn't even look that upset. It looked like, damn, I wish I was on the court with LeBron then in a Lakers uniform. But what do you guys think of that?
Yeah, the Pelicans definitely botched the Anthony Davis situation. Now they're just doing whatever for the sake of just another, like, just a aha moment for him. They're really just sitting him because their management is just terrible right now. They're not really doing anything. Obviously, Anthony Davis requested a trade. They needed to say something to him like, hey, I get it. You don't want to be here. Let's just finish the season out, and then after the in the offseason, we're going to give you away. But both teams underperforming extremely.
Yeah, the Pelicans, I think, are the worst-run team right now in the NBA. That includes the New York Knicks, because the Knicks at least have an idea right now of what they're trying to do. They traded away Porzingis. They're going to try and sign KD. It might be far-fetched, but they're going to try and do these things in the offseason, and that's a set plan. But the Pelicans have no idea what they're doing right now with Anthony Davis. They turned down some serious offers from the Lakers at the trade deadline, and now they're just sitting him for the year, and it's absolutely ridiculous. When they get to the offseason, they might not even get an offer as good as what they got from the Lakers. They probably won't get an offer that good because that Laker offer was outstanding. Basically, their whole team and some picks for Anthony Davis, who you know isn't going to re-sign. And I think this is just proving that they should have dealt him at the deadline. There's no point in waiting if you're just going to keep him on your bench for the entire season. So that team is extremely dysfunctional.
Yeah, there's always the possibility they trade him come June, which is pretty much likely at this point. But I'm looking at this game from last night more from a Lakers standpoint. Obviously, the Pelicans are a mess. They fired their general manager midseason. You don't really see that happen a lot. But we're looking at the Lakers here. They're one game under 500, and they come out of the break, and they took down the Rockets. Great comeback, and people are like, wow, this is the win that's going to turn around the season. They've been abysmal since. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, are they?
There's currently a better chance of them getting a top three lottery pick than making the eighth spot in the playoffs. And that's because you get in the once you're in the lottery, there's always a certain percentage that you get a top three pick. But it's a 6% chance right now that they, or prior to yesterday's win, a 6% chance that they get a top three lottery pick. And it was a 3% chance of them making the eighth spot. The reason that I wouldn't count them out completely is because they have LeBron James. And if LeBron James starts turning it up and playing better than he was before, they can turn this thing around and at least get it to a point where they could take... They were three games back going into last night's game. So they could at least get it to a point where they could take over the spot that's currently held by the Clippers, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Clippers aren't very good. The Clippers can lose.
They're reeling. They traded away Tobias.
Yeah, they traded their team. The spot's there for the Lakers to take. They just have to go out and play well to get it. I think there's a chance they can get it, but I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, just a quick interruption here. Bryce Harper's deal with the Philadelphia Phillies will be for $330 million, a new record for overall dollars, topping that 13-year, $325 million deal that Stanton signed back in Miami. I mean, that is the most epic mega deal I've ever seen in sports.
Can you repeat it?
We don't know the years. $330 million. I think I'm pretty sure
it
it's
is
10 years.
10 years. I didn't get Heyman tweet from that. I don't know.
I just see $330 million. Yeah. You gotta figure it's 10 years.
Harper got $330 million. If it's less, that's even huger of a deal. I mean, it has to be 10 years unless they give him a little more than 10 years.
And Mike, we're killing this guy in the whip round. We're like, you were offered $300 million by the Nationals in December.
He got
it. You didn't turn it down. You're not going to get that money. I mean, both him and Machado got over $300 million.
But I mean, the Phillies were 270 to 300 last night. They were not going above. So today they ramped up their offer incredibly. Last minute, they got him. That's huge.
Yeah, we got an MLB segment coming up, so we'll talk about that.
We
got to
do it
next
week.
Yeah, Constantine, I know you had something to say about the Lakers and the Pelicans here.
Lakers, I'm not sure what direction they're going in. It was maybe a mistake for LeBron James to sign with this team. I don't know if their young guys are getting in enough reps with LeBron there. Most of the teams that LeBron's played on, the early Cavaliers, the Cavaliers after he came from the Heat.
Sorry, 13 years the Bryce Harper.
Oh, wow.
He didn't get the money then.
No opt-outs.
What?
He didn't get the money, though, that he wanted then.
I'm sorry,
I guess he's getting $13 million, but
talking.
It's over a lot
this
of time.
This is just wild stuff. Got to interrupt here.
But I'm not sure that the young guys are getting enough reps here. LeBron's taking up too much. It's really give the ball to him, get out of the way.
Yeah, honestly, with the Lakers and LeBron, with that whole situation, Ben, I was talking to you the other day about it, and I said I still don't think it was a mistake for LeBron to go there. I don't think we can assess that yet. Because
I think he regrets it, though.
I think right now he's regretting it, but he shouldn't, because this year wasn't supposed to be something special. This year was supposed to be maybe you make the playoffs. If you do, you probably lose to like the Warriors or some really great Western Conference team in the first round. But after this year, you'll be able to get Kawhi Leonard, maybe Anthony Davis, maybe Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving, some really big stars that was the whole purpose here. So I'm not sure why LeBron James is pouting about this season, because that's really what's been going on. He's been complaining and he's been whining about this season, and I'm not sure why, because that was never the idea, was to win now. That was never the situation.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Brian. LeBron James has been crying the whole year. Like, wait one more year, I say. If you get that star, that's great. Like, good for the Lakers organization, good for him. He's got a star to play with, you know. I know he loves that. But if he doesn't, then you could leave. But I don't think he should be pouting right now. You're 1 year in.
I also don't think it's too early to call the decision to go to Los Angeles a mistake, is what I'm saying. Because you can only assess it after a few years where maybe they got a star and maybe they're... Because this wasn't a win-now situation. It was a win-next-year, two-year situation.
And also, LA is extremely young. So you have players who are still learning, how to play the NBA, basically.
There are players that can't drink alcohol on that team yet, so yeah. I wouldn't count them out.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Lakers. Obviously, a situation that Magic Johnson has on his hands. But we'll move on to our next segment. It is currently exactly 9 hours until March, which is the official month of college basketball wilderness, and March Madness Championship Week coming up in only 4 days. March 4th it starts. And we'll talk about college hoops. We'll start right now with Duke and Zion Williamson. Obviously, we weren't able to talk over the break. I'm sure you guys know what happened against UNC in the first 33 seconds. Zion Williamson blew out of his Nike shoe. Twitter was going wild, and he's been out the last couple of games with a knee sprain. They've lost 2 out of 3 without him, and Duke looks pretty lost without him. They lost to UNC at home. That game was never really close. They had a big win at Syracuse, but the other night they did lose at Virginia Tech on February 26th for the third time in the last 8 years, was it?
It was a few consecutive times.
Just don't play him on February 26th.
Don't play him on February 26th.
They got to tell the ACC. Just don't let it happen.
Yeah.
But, Brian, obviously you're a Duke fan. Tell me what you're seeing with the Blue Devils at that time.
Yeah, so what I'm seeing is, you said it perfectly, it's a team that's lost. And Coach K even said that they look lost, especially defensively without Zion Williamson. And I'm not so surprised about it. This is a team that relies on two guys to score the basketball mainly, and then they have Cam Reddish also, who puts the ball in the bucket sometimes. They're obviously a very talented team. We talk about that. But this offense goes through Zion Williamson, and it goes through RJ Barrett. And when you take one of them out of the equation, this team's going to be lost for a few games. Now, if Zion Williamson, he's not going to shut it down, but say he did shut it down for the season, and he didn't come back for the rest of the year, I think it would take some time for Duke to adjust. But by March, I think they'd be ready to go, and maybe not the top team, maybe not the undisputed number one team in the league in the nation that everybody has called them all year without Zion Williamson. But I think with a brief adjustment period, they'll be right back to one of the best teams in college basketball. And I think if you take the best player off any team in college basketball, no matter how talented that team is surrounding him, that team's still going to struggle, no matter what team it is. So I think Duke is what we've learned here is we've learned that it's just a bunch of guys that go out and play basketball together. Yes, they're very talented, but when you take away the top player on that team, they're not the same until they are.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. So for the first time, so you're with the training wheels, and then you're just taking it easy, and then you take the training wheels off, and then it's going to be a struggle. That's kind of what this Duke situation is with Zion. Like right now, Zion was the training wheels. They had him. They ran everything through him. He was their offensive guy. He was also their defensive guy. While it's a very talented team and they got very talented players on this team, you take Zion away and they just kind of looked lost. There just kind of was no direction right there. They're obviously still going to do good at the end of the season. I think they're still going to finish out as one of the top teams in that league, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're not going to get the number one overall seed anymore. I think a team that is being overlooked nationally, I think just because they play on the West Coast, they're a phenomenal team. Gonzaga is pretty much locked up the number one seed by this point, even if they lose another game. I do think they're going to win out and finish the year with only 2 losses to Tennessee and at UNC. But what a year it's been for Gonzaga. Guys you should know on that team, Rui Hachimura, Brandon Clark, Killian Tilly's been hurt, so I'm not 100% sure if he'll be in the lineup come March. But Gonzaga, obviously a great team, and they do have that head-to-head win over Duke, which could be the difference while comparing similar resumes come March.
Yeah, one team I would want to look at, maybe not getting the overall number one because I don't think Gonzaga is going to lose again, but the Virginia Cavaliers. They're just a great team, and they play excellent team basketball. And you look at their two losses here, obviously both to the Duke Blue Devils, but the second time they played Duke, they would have won if Duke didn't shoot the lights out. Duke had an outstanding shooting day that day, and Duke is not a great shooting team. So the game plan was to make Duke shoot the three. Duke hit every single three in that game, and sometimes that happens. But if Virginia can hold it together in the tournament this year, I think they're the team to beat.
We're also got to say Michigan State. I think Michigan State has humongous potential. I mean, the way they played that game against Michigan away, that was great. Missing Ward and also Langford out for the whole season, right? The whole season. Yeah. And it's just they play like a complete team to me, even without like some of their best players. But I think Cassius Winston's a great player. How much points did he put up? Do you guys know?
It was somewhere in the 20s. He had an
not
excellent
off the top
game.
Of my head.
He had an excellent game against
Michigan. He'll be the Big Ten player
of
the year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's an excellent point guard. And, yeah, I do like Michigan State coming down the stretch. Let's see if they could hold it together in the tournament. They haven't really been able to in the last few years, like Virginia.
Yeah, we'll talk about one more team before we move on. We'll talk about the Kentucky Wildcats. Obviously, basically 2 weeks ago at this point, they took down number one Tennessee, who's now fallen to around number seven, I think. And Kentucky has just been unstoppable. P.J. Washington, know the name. He'll be going to the NBA this year. He's potential SEC player of the year right up there with Grant Williams of Tennessee. You got guys like Keldon Johnson stepping up. Just a ton of guys stepping up for Kentucky. And this is with Reed Travis not playing. Obviously, the grad transfer from Stanford averaged a double-double last year, over 20 points per game. It's a huge... huge empty spot in the lineup, and a ton of guys have stepped up for the Wildcats. And when he comes back, boy, they will be extremely scary come March.
Yeah, they might be. They're in the race for a one seed right now.
100%.
Duke skids a few games right here. They might not get that one seed. You look at Kentucky, they're definitely a team that can step in. They're very talented. Obviously, Kentucky, number two recruiting class this year, I believe, behind Duke. So, yeah, they could definitely get it done. A scary team to look for out in March for sure.
Yeah, so that'll do it for our college basketball segment. Mike, it's finally time. We're going to move on to the MLB, and we'll start with this Bryce Harper deal. And 13 years, $330 million, no opt-outs, which is just the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. The Phillies just committed 13 straight years to Bryce Harper. We'll be 30 by the time his contract is
over. Oh, my God.
Actually, 31, because considering we'll be 18, and by the end of the season, that's 13 more. We'll be 31 by the time Bryce Harper is out in Philly. Which is just, I don't even want to think about that.
That's crazy. That's a great point you bring up there. We're going to be 31 years old.
Yeah, so I've been thinking a lot since we just got this. First of all, this is going to bring him to the end of his career. He's 26, so this will wrap up his career with the Phillies, which means that he will end his career as a lifetime Philly, basically. We're going to remember him as a Philadelphia Philly and not a National.
Which is crazy to think about because he's had so many like unbelievable memories with the Nets.
I mean, the amount of years he's played with the Nationals, we know this guy is a Washington Nationals. He's the face of the Nationals. He's going to go down in history. If he gets in the Hall of Fame, he's going to be a Philly. He's going to go down as a Philadelphia Philly, and that's the craziest thing to think about. I mean, the fact that this guy, who we didn't think he would ever leave the Nationals, is going to spend the rest of his career with the Phillies, it's mind-blowing. And this makes me think, what about Mike Trout?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You look ahead. Mike Trout's a kid who grew up in Philly, and obviously,
oh my God,
they were looking ahead. He's not signing with the Phillies anymore. There's no room for that. Yanks? No, I'm just kidding.
Not enough money for that either.
But I'm just saying, you look at guys in the future like Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, maybe even Aaron Judge.
Trout will make the most.
Do they top these contracts? I mean, does it just keep going up like the NFL quarterbacks
like $600 million deals.
Yeah, I mean, that's something else to look at. But for me, the Phillies are just insane.
I mean,
they're the favorite to win the NL East. It's pretty much undebatable at this point. The NL East is going to be stacked this year.
It's going to be big.
But I'll let you...
Finally, the NL East is stacked, right?
Yeah,
finally. Everyone can stop hating on that division for us.
The easiest division in baseball.
Yeah,
okay,
no more of that.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't like signing 13-year deals. I don't like... Once you get past 8 years...
No, it's a joke.
To
yeah.
me,
look at Stanton.
Like you're signing your career away. And I don't like that from a player's standpoint, and I hate that from a franchise's standpoint.
What if you hate playing?
And the reason I hate it from this franchise's standpoint is, I've said it so many times, Bryce Harper's not the player that everyone thinks he is. He's not that great of a player. He's definitely, don't get me wrong, he's a good baseball player. He is. And he's one of the top outfielders in the MLB, but he's not this guy that deserves a 13-year contract. I think that's ridiculous. I think the Phillies are going to regret this, and I'm going to love it because I hate the Phillies. So, yeah, I mean, I would never
be a Hall of Famer.
I would never sign a 13-year
deal.
We'll see. He's not going to be a Hall
of Famer. If he falls down from right now, it sucks for the rest of his career. He won't.
Well, he's a great player, certainly. His defensive skill isn't the best. Like, he's obviously one of the best hitters in the game right now. But 13 years, that's a big contract right there. That's some big money right there. How old is he going to be by the end of this contract?
39.
39 years. Yeah, it's going to take him to his 40s. That's taking up his entire career, like you said. He just changed his legacy, and we're going to remember him as a Philly, not a National.
Yeah, but still only 26. The Phillies are going to have, you got to figure, at least 6 years of him in his prime.
At least. I mean, there's always a chance that you have a Stanton thing happening where he comes out and he just kind of falls on his face a little bit. But honestly, this for the Phillies is not the right move. I think if you're the Phillies, you wait and get Trout. Trout's a better player. Trout's younger. Trout's got a much brighter future ahead of him. Yeah, he's going to cost a lot more money. I think Trout's probably going to get...
What's the difference? Once you go over $300 million, if you're spending $330 on a 13-year deal...
You're already over
or $370 salary. Over a 13-year deal, whatever it is. The money in this deal isn't even... It's not as much as Arenado's evaluation value, or it's not as much as the value on Manny Machado's deal. So that's not as much... I mean, obviously, $330 million.
Like, that's a big price tag.
That's a lot of money.
That is the biggest MLB contract in baseball.
Is it also
history.
The longest MLB contract in baseball?
No, Stanton's 13 too.
Longest free agent contract in MLB history, because Stanton's 13 year was obviously an extension with Miami. And Mike, you're talking about Stanton there, where he fell flat on his face.
No,
I get what you're saying. Yes, he did. But
I was waiting.
You got to put it in perspective. He kind of got hit in the mouth last year. First time in the AL. He wasn't even playing the field. First time playing meaningful games past May.
Right.
I think I'll have a pretty good bounce
back
here. And for a guy last year who hit over 260, drove in 100 runs and hit 40 homers, and that's an off year. Like, I'm expecting bigger things from him.
Stanton's a guy I would have given this money to, and Stanton's a guy I would sign to a really long deal. I think that's a good idea. I think he's the caliber player for that. I think so is Mike Trout. And I take that back. I don't think anybody's worth signing a 13-year deal to. In 10 years, you're going to regret it because the guy's going to be old and he's going to be still signed onto this signed for this team for the next 3 years, and that isn't good. So I don't like giving it to anyone. But if I were to give it to anyone, I would give it to Mike Trout. I'd give it to Giancarlo Stanton. I would not give it to Bryce Harper. I don't think he's that caliber.
It could be another one of those like Bobby Bonilla situations where he's like he can't even play after a few years and they've got to pay him for the rest of his contract. I mean, there's so many things to think about here. I mean, this screws the Nationals over. All their signings and things they did this offseason, they're done. The Nationals are going to be irrelevant, thank goodness. But the Phillies now are the powerhouse, like Ben said, in the NL East. I read an article the other day that said that the Mets want Harper to go to the Phillies because the Phillies are not as good with Harper as the Nationals are.
Well, you don't know that.
I know. I'm saying, and I didn't really think that made sense because the Nationals don't really have anybody, but the Phillies got some good pickups this offseason.
Who's playing catcher for the Phillies right now?
JT Realmuto.
They got Realmuto?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
You got to think who they acquired.
They got Realmuto, Segura.
McCutcheon, obviously at a lower deal, but McCutcheon's still a solid outfielder.
Bryce Harper.
I got to look this up. Hold on.
This is a very good team because I thought Realmuto went to the Phillies. That's why. And this is definitely the powerhouse in the NL East, if not the NL. They're a force to be reckoned with now in the NL, which is very good because that's what you want for now, but a 13-year deal is just too much. It's too high of a price to pay.
I mean, you think about it. You've got Rhys Hoskins coming into his prime. JT Realmuto coming in. You've got, what's his name? I'm looking at him right now, and I can't figure out what his name was. Aaron Nola. He's coming off a Cy Young caliber season. Man, I'm scared to be a Mets fan right now.
Yeah, they're loaded. The Phillies, definitely a team to reckon with. We'll talk a little Machado and a little Arenado before we move on to our topic of the week, but just want to put out there that we are going extremely in-depth on all of these baseball topics and more on the MLB Whip Around. It's going to be an every Tuesday thing from here on out.
Yeah, as spring
training and the regular season pick up some steam. You can check that out on Apple Podcast. It's Mike and I on that. It's a pretty good show. But we'll move on to Manny Machado. So, Mike, give me your take on this contract. 10 years, $300 million, the largest free agent contract in professional sports at the time.
Right.
But
But we knew it wasn't. Well, we knew it was going to be because we knew Harp, the night, whoever signed last was going to get the more money.
So that's a very big deal, incredibly important for the Padres. Ben and I talked about it, like you said, on the whip around. But I mean, this is a very, very interesting contract. He's got a lot of opt outs in there, unlike Harper. So he can pretty much get out whenever he wants. So I don't think we're going to be seeing Manny Machado for 10 years in the Padres. I'd be very, very surprised if he does. It depends on how he does. Depends on how the Padres do. I mean, if the Padres start winning World Series, I mean, obviously he's going to stay. But
he has the opt-out clause. So yeah. if it's not a successful run,
right, he can
always
just
bail. You can definitely figure him leaving.
So, I mean, he's a guy who's going to hit you. He's going to hit over 300. He's going to hit over 30 home runs. He's going to get in a lot of RBIs. And he's a very good presence in that clubhouse. I mean, he walks in.
Excellent fielder, Tim.
Yeah, he's one of the best in the game alongside Arenado. So it's very very good for the Padres. I'm happy for them. They've got a lot of good guys in that infield. Eric Hosmer, Ian Kinsler. We forgot to talk about Kinsler on the whip around. I forgot about him that he's even on the Padres. So they've got Urias, one of his brothers. I believe it's Luis, is the shortstop prospect. He's coming up. He'll be ready. So very potent.
And you didn't even mention the best farm system in the entire major leagues, which is the biggest deal of this contract, because this is not a win now contract. We'll let the farm system develop a little bit longer. 4 years from now, you're going to be thinking about the Padres as one of the best teams in the league because they have Manny Machado in his prime, because they have Hosmer in his prime. They're going to have these young guys on this team, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in a few years. That's why. And also, when you sign a 10-year deal, that is what you have to do in the MLB now to get these stud players. I don't mind this 10-year deal because they're of all the opt-outs. So there are ways out of this. For Machado, I like this one. I think this is going to work out. I think the Padres are going to be very good.
Manny Machado and the Padres both being really smart here. As for the Padres, they obviously signed a contract with a lot of opt-outs. So it's not like Bryce Harper's contract where the Phillies are essentially stuck to him for his entire career. The Padres, if it's not working out, they could obviously get rid of him. And Manny Machado was being really smart here too. As he knew that he wasn't going to sign anything short-term. He wanted long-term. He wanted money. But he was smart signing it with the Padres because that farm system they have, they're going to be looking pretty scary in a couple of years.
Yeah, the only issue is Hosmer's in his prime now and is going to be rolling out of his prime by the time that the farm system's really up. But a guy to look out for, Manuel Margot, he's a stud outfielder. I'm telling you, in a few years, the kid's going to be hitting over 300 with 30 home runs himself. He's a great hitter. I've seen the way he plays. He's got a lot of spark in him. He's very underrated right now, still getting used to the San Diego and MLB situation. I believe he's in his third year now, so he's a guy to look out for. But, man, those Padres,
yeah,
these irrelevant teams that were irrelevant for a while we were growing up are starting to blossom.
Yeah, they'll have Fernando Tatis at short, right? I think I made them mistake.
I think he's
week.
An outfielder, actually.
And Mieja, however you say his name, at catcher, right?
I don't remember. It was Luis Urias is the shortstop, and that'll be big for him, too. So, I mean, Tatis, I completely forgot about him. He's a center fielder, so he'll be a big spot for them. I mean, Padres.
Francisco Mieja.
Mieja.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
He's good, too.
Yeah.
They got him in the Yan Gomes. Or wait, did they get him in the Yan Gomes? I don't remember how,
I'm not,
how they
I'm
got
not
him.
Sure how they acquired these guys. But, yeah, one thing to think about with the Padres and the Phillies, I thought prior to this mega deal, I don't like this mega deal for them. But these are two teams that should be the model of how to rebuild your franchise. The Knicks should study the Padres. The Knicks should study the Phillies. Because,
I think a lot of teams
because
should.
The Phillies won the World Series in, 2008?
Yeah.
And right after that, Ryan Howard got old. Roy Halladay got old. Utley got old. And a few other players. That core that they had for a few years that was a World Series caliber team that won a few. I believe they won a few, right? They won more than one.
I know they won
in 08.
They lost
in
09 to the Yankees.
Okay, they only won one.
That was a very, very good team.
By the way, on Harper. Full no trade clause. Wow. That's even more incredible.
He is stuck in Philly.
Yeah.
He's stuck.
Congratulations. You are going to be eating cheesesteaks for the rest of your life. But continue, Brian.
Yeah. So they had that very very great core of players, but they got old, and the Phillies recognized that. They got rid of these guys. They rebuilded perfectly, and they knew that they were going to not be good for the next, 9 years. They knew this is a 9-year rebuild, but now here they are. They're the powerhouse in the NL, and I appreciate that because, I mean, I hate the Phillies, but they did this perfectly.
Yeah, they played it very smart. Just quick correction, Fernando Tatis Jr. is a shortstop, so that actually that closes up that infield a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
definitely, for sure.
So another thing I know you want to talk about a little bit was Arenado getting the largest contract extension annual salary-wise with $34.5 million a year for, I believe, 5 years. Or
8 years. No, it was 268 years.
Yeah, 268 years.
Oh, right.
So okay. I think it was 32 and a half per year that was. I don't remember. Sure,
but either way, it was a very big contract for the Rockies. That came out early in the week. So it's been a week of money in the MLB.
Yeah.
It's
almost $1 billion thrown around.
These contracts are getting out of control right now.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah definitely. But
Arenado's definitely a guy that I think deserves this money. He's, in my opinion, the premier player in the NL.
Yeah, I agree. I think all this big contract stuff kind of started with the NFL. I mean, you had Aaron Rodgers, who signed the ginormous contract last offseason. I mean, so many guys signed the huge contracts.
All the quarterbacks you can think of signed the mega deals.
Right.
Yeah, every quarterback that signs a contract in the NFL gets the new biggest deal.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, they kind of started they got the ball rolling. And I mean, MLB is following in suit, and it's incredible. I mean, like Brian said, there's actually almost $1 billion that's been thrown around
in these
last few weeks.
But for the Rockies, you look at this from an organizational standpoint, what a move. I mean, you got Arenado, who was going to, was he going to leave? Most likely after the offseason, the Yankees and the Red Sox are both going to throw big money at him. But as a Yankee fan, I'm happy there's not even a possibility he'll be on Boston. But Arenado, obviously a generational talent, one of the better fielding third basemen we've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of gold gloves in his belt.
Quite a lot. I think there might be like four or five, maybe six. So I think he's actually won the gold glove every single year that he has been in the major leagues.
Yeah,
I'll get a little fact check here. We'll see that.
But Arenado, he's a phenomenal hitter. I said the other day about how he brings such a presence to the clubhouse. He's such a dominant guy. The second he gets onto the field, I mean, he's so just overwhelmingly. He's passionate. He loves what he does, and he brings that to the Rockies.
Yeah, Arenado, 6 gold gloves in 6 seasons.
Wow.
He's incredible, and it's not even he's not even known for his fielding, because no MLB player is going to be known for his fielding. He's an excellent hitter. He does great in that Colorado air, that's so hitter-friendly over there, but he's still just such a great hitter. And like I said, I think the premier player in the NL, maybe second to Mike Trout in the entire MLB. You throw a few other guys out there, Mookie Betts, Giancarlo Stanton. Anyway, he's a premier player in the MLB. So I really like this deal for Colorado. I think it was a great move locking him up.
They locked up probably one of the best two-way players in the game right now. Good move from them.
Yeah, definitely. So that'll do it for our MLB coverage. Make sure to check out the Whip Around. We got all that and more. We'll move on to the topic of the week.
We're just gonna do one today. We've had a little bit of stuff. Yeah. I got to get going.
Make it a good
anyway.
One though. Let's do it.
It's gonna be an interesting one. How will the world end?
Sun explosion.
God, disagree.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go down. Mm-mm. Definitely.
Oh, God, Ryan's heated.
That's not how, like, humanity is going to end, because there will be plenty of ways that evolution will take its course.
All right, then I'm thinking, how's humanity going to end?
Yeah, how's humanity going to end?
The next
time. We'll think that.
We're going to kill ourselves.
Bold prediction? Never.
No. Humanity will end. And we'll end up killing ourselves and the animals around us.
You mean through like
not yet through pollution and all
okay,
that.
Okay, so like global warming.
Oh, I thought we were like bird boxing ourselves.
No. We're not bird boxing ourselves.
Humanity is going to end the next time the Patriots and the Eagles play in the same Super Bowl.
So never, because the Eagles are not a great organization. So yeah. I like that.
Shout out Nick Foles, by the way.
Yeah, Nick
free
Foles.
Agent. Yeah, free agent. Maybe Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know. We'll see with that, but. How will humanity end?
Yeah, let's go.
Like
with
an
that.
Event, I'm gonna say, like a volcanic eruption, the one in Yellowstone. That's gonna
ooh.
Erupt one day, and that's gonna do it.
Yeah, that's getting ready to burst.
Meteor.
That's unoriginal. That already happened.
Yeah, you're just
that already happened with the dinosaurs.
You
know, so.
you got to get better. but I don't know. I want to go out of the box and say like a zombie apocalypse. You know, the zombies like rise up from the ground somehow. Like there's some poison that gets on the ground that makes the dead people come back to life.
It's a bit far fetched.
It is. But I mean, if you think about it,
yeah, I don't know the science behind that.
A couple million years, it can happen. I mean, a couple million years, you just spike some nuclear like weapon into the ground, and I mean, you could have yourself. It can resurrect the dead bodies and give them life.
Mike, you show me the evidence, I will be on that.
I mean,
I'm totally on board now. I'm totally on board now.
We might be a little dead by that point.
Yeah, but all right. Good question, Mike, and that'll do it for us this week. As always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashudi, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the Board of Education, our audience who listens every Thursday, and finally, a very special thank you to the class of 2016 for their generous donation towards our podcast setup. Douglas, we missed you today, buddy, but definitely a good show. And I'm Ben Dixon alongside our always reliable producer, Mikey Stats Garaffa. We got Brian Flattow, Constantine, Ryan, and we'll see you next week.